Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. This is Carnita Smith with my special guest in studio today, Brother Harold Copeland. And we are here today on Mission from the Heart to bring you a new series, a new teaching series that, of course, will always delight your soul, and it will always be food for growth as we come together to learn more about what God wants us to do as brothers and sisters in Christ. I tell you, it's been a day of rejoicing today, and we are here together to continue to expose the Word of God, to expound on the Word of God, and to extend the Word of God to you. And we are starting a new teaching series, and the title of this series is Under the Umbrella of Discipleship. Now, you may be scratching your head thinking, why discipleship? Well, I'm here to tell you, along with my special guest, as you know who he is, Brother Harold Copeland, we are here today to continue to feed the brothers and sisters in Christ the very necessary equipment that we need to continue to grow and go in grace. And we need to be disciples. So I'm going to allow my guest, Brother Copeland, to do the highlights of this new teaching series under the umbrella of discipleship. But before he comes, I want you to hear this in Scripture today. Teaching series, of course, is under the umbrella of discipleship, but the focus today is atonement. And some of you may not know what atonement means. And if you don't, just stay ready, come hungry, come thirsty, because Brother Copeland will teach you concerning this particular area of being discipled, understanding atonement. But listen to what it says concerning atonement in Scripture. Surely he took up our pain and bore our suffering. Yet we consider him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. And this comes out of Isaiah 53, verses 4 and 5. Just know that no other blood but Jesus atoned for the sins of the world. He is the perfect Lamb. So, my guest in studio, Brother Harold Copeland, and we are very familiar with who he is. He is going to continue to spotlight, highlight, and teach us through Scripture and give us a deeper understanding of what atonement means as we continue to eat the meat of the Word, the gospel of Jesus Christ. So, Brother Harold, if you would take us into this wonderful teaching series under the umbrella of discipleship.
Well, thank you, Minister Smith. And praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hello to everybody. And I release God blesses upon you in the name of Jesus. As it was said, I am Brother Harold Copeland, and along with our host, Minister Kenita Smith, we are in studio together again. We always like to welcome everyone to Mission from the Heart radio broadcast. We want you to know it's always an honor and always a privilege to fellowship with you concerning the truth of the Word of God. We always want you to know that we love you. We appreciate you. We thank God for you. We thank God for your life. But most importantly, God loves you. And God has a plan for your life. And every time you open your heart and receive the Word of God, He is downloading revelation knowledge by the power of the Holy Spirit within you. And this revelation knowledge will take you to your divine destiny. And you too shall fulfill God's plan and call for your life. In the name of Jesus. Yes, yes. The realm of discipleship, under the umbrella of discipleship, we've been led by the Word of God to dive into this series, and as the teaching go forward, you shall understand the commandment that is upon our feet to walk in this direction. Discipleship. I like to start out with a meaning, a definition of discipleship. Teaching biblical precepts while modeling and guiding others toward living righteous as followers of Jesus Christ. For those that are taking notes, let me say that again. Teaching biblical precepts while modeling and guiding others toward living righteousness as followers of Jesus Christ. Now, there's a divine principle, a divine mandate that goes with discipleship. And once we are discipled by the power of the Holy Spirit through the Word of God, then it is our job to go disciple others by the power of the Holy Spirit through the Word of God. And in this, we use this principle as a process to build disciples. And let me give you a definition of the word disciple. A disciple, a personal follower of Jesus. A disciple, a follower, a student of a teacher. A disciple, a follower, a student of a leader. A disciple, a dedicated follower of Jesus, someone who believes in Jesus and seeks to follow him in their daily life under the influence of the Holy Spirit. See, I say the best for last. Let me say that again. A disciple, for those who's taking notes. I'll slow it down a little bit. Someone who believes in Jesus Christ and seek to follow him in their daily life by the influence of the Word of God and the Holy Spirit. Our launch pad scripture for this series will come out of the book of Matthew, chapter 28, starting with verse 16, all the way through verse 20. Matthew, chapter 28, starting with verse 16, all the way through verse 20. Let us read that, please.
28:16. Starting at 16 through 20, and it reads, even then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age.
Let's see right here. Jesus is taking the role of a parent, a guardian that is getting ready to take a trip and will be gone for a season. So it is imperative that the parents, before they leave, they get the children together and they give the important instructions that need to go on while they are waiting, because they have to keep the house in order, and they have to keep unity between the siblings. So the instructions the parents give the children is to keep the house in order, to keep the upkeep of the house. It's very important that you do this. Make sure you make your bed every day. Make sure you clean the bathroom every day. Trim the hedges once a week. Make sure the grass don't get too high. Keep the upkeep of the house. Keep the house functioning until we get back, that everything will be in order. And that is what Jesus is doing. Important instructions to keep the kingdom of God moving forward. Protect the people of God. And to get more soldiers into God's kingdom. To help stop the devil from trying to destroy the kingdom. This is what you must do. Go ye therefore and make disciples while I'm gone. So when I come back, everything in the kingdom will be in order. This is a very important instruction. And to tell you the truth, I think we as the body of Christ missed it, because this is the least thing that we're doing. And Jesus is saying, it's the most important thing I want you to do while I'm away. Discipleship. Now, under the series of the umbrella of discipleship, we're going to have several topics, several different topics. And as was said earlier in the introduction, the topic that we step into today will be the atonement. And you know I like to give definitions. So let's start out with a definition of the atonement. And what we have here is satisfaction or reparation for a wrong done or an injury. There was a wrong done. Somebody was injured. And a satisfaction need to come to that individual. Some type of reparation need to come to that individual for the wrong that was done to them, for the injury that was done to them, a satisfaction, a reparation. And it goes on to say, to make amends, the doctrine concerning the reconciliation to God and mankind, especially accomplished through the life, the suffering, and death of Jesus Christ. I like that one. For you all that's taking notes, I'm going to say that one again. The doctrine concerning the reconciliation of God and mankind, especially as accomplished through the life, the suffering, and death of Jesus Christ. Beautiful definition. But I had to go to the Strong Concordance and see what Strong's had to say about the atonement. And I got two definitions out of the Strong's Concordance. I got one for a definition of the atonement in the Old Testament. And then I got another one, another definition from the Strong Concordance of the atonement in the New Testament. Let us read the definition of the Old Testament first. The Old Testament definition, to cover, to cancel, to appease, to cleanse, to disannul, to forgive, to be merciful, to pacify, to pardon, to purge away, to put off. I think Strong's did good for that definition of the atonement in the Old Testament. Well, let's see what he said about the definition of the atonement in the New Testament. He says, to make an exchange, restoration back to divine favor. I like that. He said, restoration back to divine favor. Beautiful word, reconciliation. Strong's did an outstanding job defining the atonement. Now, we want to use one more definition before we go on. We got to set this up so when it's time to teach it in the discipleship manner, we'll have a strong foundation and everybody will be on one accord. So we're going to bring one more definition. And this definition is the layman definition. You know, the lay church members definition, not the pastors or the ministers or the preachers, but just the members, their definition. And the way they use their definition they take their definition from the word itself. And what I'm saying is they take their definition from the spelling of the word. So let's look at it. Let's look at the first two letters of atonement, A-T. That spells at. Let's look at the next three letters, O-N-E. That spells one. So what we have so far is at one. Well, let's look at the last four letters, M-E-N-T. And the definition of meant is with. So what we have is at one with. At one with. With is a preposition, and it takes us to somebody. Who do it take us to? I'm glad you asked. At one with God. The layman's definition of atonement, at one with God. But it doesn't stop there. It adds one more little word. At one with God. Again, the layman's definition of atonement. At one God. Again. Now, see, again, have to make us keep thinking. Because when we use again means that we was with God before. And it means that something had to happen. Something took place that calls for a need for mankind to become at one with God again. So we got to search the scriptures quickly to see what took place to cause us, mankind, to be in the position that we have a need to become one with God again. And it takes us to the creation. And we all know the story about the creation. We learned it in Sunday school. We learned about the creation in Wednesday night Bible study. See, I was fortunate. I learned about the creation in public school. Because when I was in the first through the fifth grade, public school was still teaching the Bible. So we all know about the creation. And I'm not going to tell the creation story, but I am going to pull some particulars so we can find out what happened to cause us to have a need to be at one with God again. So let us go to Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. That's Genesis chapter 2, verse 7.
Genesis 2, 7. Then the Lord God formed a man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils and the breath of life. And the man became a living being.
Yes, that breath of life immediately put man at one with God. Breath of life immediately put man at one with God. But we are looking at for what happened, what took place to sever that unity. So let's go to the book of Genesis, chapter number 3, verses 6 and 7. Genesis chapter number 3, verses 6 and 7.
When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye, and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband, who was with her, and he ate it. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized that they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves.
Yes, we know the story. We all know the story. So it was that spirit of disobedience and rebellion that made them naked. That means they wasn't connected to God. They wasn't at one with God anymore. Because God was covering them when they was at one with him. But once that disobedience, that sin came in, the covering of God left them. That spiritual covering of God left them. And they found themselves uncovered, which made them naked. And now they was in the process. They had to try to cover themselves. And Adam and Eve and all mankind became spiritually separated. And that created the need for man to become at one with God again. And we know the story. Our loving God, he kept moving. Actually, what we're going to see now is the first atonement being administered by God, the Father. So let's go to the book of Genesis. And God actually administered the first atonement in the Garden of Eden. Chapter number 3, Genesis chapter number 3, verse 21.
The Lord God made garments of skin for Adam and his wife and clothed them. And the Lord said,
that is the first atonement. And the first atonement was performed by God the Father to bring Adam and Eve at one with him again. And notice, as was said in the introduction, it takes blood to administer an atonement, because it's the blood that paid the price for the sin that was created. And it's only the blood that can pay the price for the sin that was created. Without the blood, there's no atonement. So God the Father, to get the skin of an animal, he had to kill the animal. And when he killed the animal, there was a shedding of the animal's blood. And the shedding of the animal's blood covered the sins of disobedience and rebellion of Adam and Eve. And then God was able to have become at one with them and make them garments out of the skins of the animal. And he covered them again. Let us read in the book of Hebrews, chapter 9, verse 22. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22.
In fact, the law requires that nearly everything be cleansed with blood, and without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness.
And if there is no forgiveness, there is no atonement. Because without forgiveness, one can't come back to God. And it takes blood to administer the forgiveness to pay the price for the sin. And once the blood is applied, the sin has been paid for, and forgiveness has been released. And now one can come back at one with the Father. Without the shedding of blood, I like the way that ended. There's no remission of sin. Now, let's talk about the Old Testament atonement. We are going to go into it for a season and just explain it for a while, but let's make this point. The Old Testament atonement could not cancel out sin, could not destroy sin forever. The Old Testament atonement just covered the sin. And what it did, it covered the sin for a season. That's why the atonement had to be administered once a year, because it wasn't the real thing. It was a shadow of the real thing that was getting ready to come. Man. So it did not, it just covered the sin for a season. That's why they had to offer the sacrifice over and over again. Let's go to the book of Hebrews, chapter number 10, verses 1 through 4. Hebrews, chapter number 10, verses 1 through 4.
The law is only a shadow of the good things that are coming, not the realities themselves. For this reason, it can never, by the same sacrifices repeated endlessly year after year, make perfect those who draw near to worship. Otherwise, would they not have stopped being offered? For the worshipers would have been cleansed once for all and would no longer have felt guilty for their sins. But those sacrifices are an annual reminder of sin. It is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sin.
Yes. Now, there are three categories of the atonement. The first category we saw, and it was administered by our Heavenly Father. Now, the second category is the Israelites worshiping in God's temple. And she just read that they had to do it over and over and over again because it wasn't the real thing. It was in the shadow of the real thing to come. But let's just talk about that over once a year atonement. They called it the Day of the Atonement. And the Hebrew name for that is Yom Kippur. I'm sure everybody heard that word. And Yom Kippur is the highest holy day of the Jewish calendar in the Old Testament. And what happened? The high priest made an atoning sacrifice for the sins of the people. On that day of atonement called Yom Kippur, this act of paying the penalty for sin brought reconciliation, a restored relationship between the people and God. The high priest went into the holiest of the holies, which is the very presence of God. He was the only one that can go into God's holy presence, place the blood on the mercy seat to atone for the sins of the people for that year. So the key word is for that year. And we just want to picture of what happened when he went there. When you look at the temple, there are three courts in the temple. You have the outer court where the lay people can go. But then you have the inner court where the other priests can go. But then you have the holies of the holies, which is the third court where only the high priest can go, because it's the very presence of God. So when he made the atonement, the high priest made the atonement, there was a veil between the middle court and the high court. And the high priest was the only one that could walk up to the veil, and he had the sacrifice in his hand. When he got to the veil, he lifted the sacrifice up in the air, and the supernatural power of the Holy Ghost snatched him in the sacrifice and took him into the presence, him in the sacrifice into the presence of God. Let's understand. He had on his priestly garments, and at the bottom of his priestly garments, he had bells. And as long as they heard the bells, they knew everything was all right with him and God. But if the bells stop ringing or chiming, that means something went wrong, and he passed, he died. He actually died in the presence of God. Now, nobody could go in there and get him, because he was the only one that was worthy enough to go into the holies of holies. So what they did, they had a rope tied around him. And as long as they heard the bells chiming, they knew everything was all right. But if the bells stopped chiming, they knew he died in the presence of God. So what they did is just pull the rope, because they couldn't go in there. They pulled the rope, and they pulled him out of the presence of the Most High God. And that is the Old Testament atonement, on the Day of Atonement. And we call that Yom Kippur. Somebody say Yom Kippur. Amen. I sense the presence of Holy Spirit. And it's time to stop, drop, and pray, because when Holy Spirit power manifests, he come to draw somebody's heart into the very presence of God. Amen. And because of the covenant that we have through the power of Holy Spirit and through the blood of Jesus, amen, we're not limited to the prayer presence of God, because there is no more veil. Holy Spirit will take any one of us that is willing to come forth in the presence of God and come one with God again. Yes, to come one with God again. Well, you say, well, I've never been with God. Yes, we all were with God, even before the creation of time. And we got into the earth realm, and we just forgot about God. And that's all right. I did it, and a lot of people do it. But when the Spirit comes, he comes to draw us back into the presence. So we're going to stop. We're going to drop. We're going to pray, and we are going to turn it over to Minister Cornelia Smith, and she's going to take us to the cross where the blood of Jesus and the Spirit of God will minister to us. Minister Smith.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So this is a time that we extend the gospel of Jesus Christ, and this is done through prayer of salvation. Now, as we expose and expound the Word of God through teaching series on this broadcast, we cannot assume that every listener to this broadcast across the World Wide Web is a believer in Christ Jesus or born again or saved, salvation. So we want to touch and agree for the benefit of those who want to give their life to Christ, to make him Lord of their life. Then we do this by extending Jesus to them, that they will take a hold of his hand. So for you who are listening to this broadcast today, we encourage you to draw near. Come to your, get on your knees if you can, or bow your head with us, that we pray for you. Now, humble your heart, and it is your heart, our words. But my brothers and sisters, if you would touch and agree with Brother Harold and I as we pray a prayer of salvation for those who say, I am ready today. And this is a time to get serious with your life, because this invitation has eternal consequences. So we just encourage you today, for this day has been set aside for you to give your heart to Christ. So for those of you, my brothers and sisters, who are lifting up somebody, who have been praying over someone to come to know Jesus in the pardoning of their sin, let's continue to do that. Call them by name, that you continue to pray prayer of salvation for them, and God will do the rest. So let's go to the Lord in prayer, as humble as we know how. So let's pray. Lord God, I am needing a Savior, and I know that Jesus died on the cross for me. Lord, I come to you as simple and as humble as I know how. I've said some things, I've done some things, and Lord, you know I've thought of things that were just not right. You know Shin and every word that has come out of my mouth. Lord, I cannot bring anything but myself. I give you my heart, and I trust you by faith that you are my Savior, that you will save me. You died on the cross for my sins, and Lord, I surrender to you. I love you, and I need you, and I ask that you change me on the inside out. Lord, I love you, and I believe by faith that you are mine, and I want to be yours. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Well, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, hallelujah. Thank you, and you have done the best thing you could have done in your life, and that is to give your heart to Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. The angels rejoice and they sing and they thank God with us that you have given your life to Christ. Hallelujah. So we encourage you. We encourage you to seek out a Bible teaching church, that you would be baptized by submersion of water, and that you would seek out a Sunday school class or a little small group discipleship class as you continue to listen to Mission from the Heart Radio, so that you will continue to be discipled in this way as well. And so we just rejoice and we celebrate this new day, that you would tell somebody that you are now a born-again believer, that the Holy Spirit lives with inside you because you said yes to Jesus. And that in itself is a blessing. So we just encourage you to continue to grow and go in grace as you continue to give your ear to the Word of God, that you may be used by God. So praise the Lord and hallelujah. And we are just super excited for what you have done in accepting Jesus as your Lord. Brother Harold?
Well, hallelujah. We do praise God. Welcome, my brothers. Welcome, my sisters. Welcome to the family of God. Welcome to this new life that Jesus Christ living on the inside of you. The greatest decision you can ever make in your entire life. And as the instructions was given, the final words made church, just follow those instructions and just be faithful for the next year. And you'll never be the same. We love you. God loves you. And there's just nothing you can stop. Nothing can separate you from the love of God. Again, I say welcome. People of God, as we venture, continue to venture under this umbrella of discipleship, following those very important instructions that came out of Matthew chapter 28. Before Jesus left, he wanted to make sure that the kingdom stayed in order, that when he come back, he didn't lose anyone, and even that there was a growth in the family, just like now. There's a growth in the family because of our brothers and sisters that receive the Lord. And in this journey under the umbrella of discipleship, the Word of God is very important. The Word of God is the only important tool that we have. Amen. The word will be empowered by the Spirit. The word will be empowered by a supernatural life. But it's the Word of God. And nothing else can keep us on this journey. Without the Word of God, that's how denominations get started. Without the Word of God, that's how religion gets started. Without the Word of God, that's how cults get started. The Word of God, we have no relationship with God. And I'm going to read you, tell you a short story. And when I heard the story, what came to me quickly is that's how religion got started. Because there was no word of God involved. It was just a word of a man. And the people believed the word of a man above the truth. So I'm just emphasizing how important it is for us to stand on nothing but the word of God as we enter under this umbrella of discipleship, starting out with the atonement. So this is what happened. There was a great, somebody said great, a great philosopher, and his name was Aristotle. And he taught something to his people, to his followers. He taught that if you took a heavy object and you drop it to the ground with a lighter object, he said the heavy object would fall faster than the lighter object. The heavy object, if you drop them at the same time, from the same height, he said the heavy object will fall faster than the light object. And because Aristotle was one of the greater thinkers of all time, people believed him. They believed his saying up to 2,000 years after he died. Nobody tested his word. So 2,000 years after he died, there was another philosopher named Galileo. And Galileo summons all the professors that was learned are still following Aristotle's teachings 2,000 years after his death. He called them all to the Tower of Pisa, to the foot of the Tower of Pisa. Galileo called all those professors to the foot of the Tower of Pisa. He left them at the foot. Galileo left them at the foot. And Galileo climbed to the top. And Galileo had two objects in his hand. He had a heavy object of 10 pounds. And he had a lighter object of 1 pound. And Galileo dropped them both at the same time. And much to everyone's amazement, both landed at the same time. So Aristotle's teaching was wrong. But however, the professors refused to believe what they had seen. They denied Galileo's experiment and insisted Aristotle was still right, even though they witnessed the truth. So the strength of their belief and what they had been taught would not allow them to admit that they was wrong. Instead of them admitting they was wrong, they held on to a lie, even though they witnessed the truth with their own eyes. Rather than accept the truth, they persisted in believing an inaccurate lie. And I believe that's how religion got started. So that's why we must use the word of God. And I thank God for you all that take notes. And I pray that everybody start taking notes. So in your study time, the reference that we give you, that you can pray over them and ask the Holy Spirit to reveal revelation knowledge to you. And the truth will come forth. The word of God say that we shall know the truth. And it's only the truth we know that makes us free. So we're going to venture, because we're setting this up. We have to set up the atonement before we go into it. Still got to set it up just a little bit more. So we got three types. We can say categories, three different categories of atonement. the first category was administered by God the Father. And then we had a category that you had to do once a year that was administered by the high priest. And then we went into the New Testament and the atonement that was administered by the Lamb. Amen. But he's a unique Lamb. Amen. He's the precious Lamb. Amen. He's the Lamb of God. Oh, yes, he is. He's the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the earth. So when we look at the atonement, what we ask ourselves is, what did God's people get from each atonement? Okay. What did God's people get from each atonement? And when we look at the first atonement, Adam and Eve had everything. They didn't lack nothing. They weren't missing anything. They was living in a perfect paradise. They had everything they wanted. They had everything they needed. Until they was lacking nothing. Until they listened to Satan. And they allow Satan to let them sin, and sin came into the world. Now, once sin came into the world, they had a need. Yes. And the need they had was the forgiveness of sin. That's the only need they had. And they brought it upon themselves. And because they had everything else and much more, the covenant that God administered to them, what they received from God, was the forgiveness of the sin. So that atonement, the main purpose of the atonement that God performed, was the forgiveness of the sin. So they can come at one with him again. So that's what that atonement represents. So let's look at the Israelites' atonement, the high priest. Okay. Now, that atonement was a replica of the first atonement. And what we see was it also was for the forgiveness of sin. But I hear you say, but they got healed in the Old Testament. Yes, they got healed, but the healing didn't come from the atonement. No, the healing came from the will of God. Amen. God willed to heal them. Amen. It didn't come from the high priest making atonement for healing. No. That atonement that the high priest made was only for sin. But God willed. God is God, and God can will to do whatever he wants to do. He could will to heal, or he can will to bring a punishment if he wanted to for their disobedience. And let's look at God's will taking place in the form of healing. And notice that healing did not come from the atonement, but it came from the will of God, which came out of God's heart. So let's look at Genesis chapter 20, verse 17. Genesis chapter 20, verse 17.
Genesis 20, 17. Then Abraham prayed to God, and God healed Abimelech, his wife, and his female slaves so they could have children again.
Psalms chapter 107, verse 20. Psalms chapter 107. Verse 20.
He sent his word and healed them. He rescued them from the grave.
They say two or three witnesses. Psalms chapter 30, verse 2. Psalms chapter 30, verse 2.
Lord, my God, I called to you for help, and you healed me.
Amen. And the point that we're making here is the healing did not come from the atonement. The healing came from the will of God. And the question we asked was, what did God's people benefit from the atonement? Adam and Eve benefited the forgiveness of sin because that's all they lacked. They had everything in it, and they brought that lack upon themselves. And the high priest healed was for the sins of the people, and he appeased the heart of God once a year by offering that atonement for the sins of the people. The healing came from the will of God. It did not come from the atonement. And next week, we are going into the New Testament to the ultimate atonement. And we're going to pull out what God's people received from the ultimate atonement that was by the precious Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, but he takes away much, much more, and he gives much, much more. And Father, Paul said that, I come not in eloquent speech or enticing words, but I come in the demonstration of the power of the Holy Spirit. And God, as your word went out, the spirit that's upon your word, the life that's upon your word, go across the globe and begin to touch the heart of the people and touch the mind of the people. Put somebody on fire for discipleship. Put somebody on fire to be a disciple. Bring forth a new life within them across the globe. Let somebody say, what must I do to be saved so I can be a disciple and take this world to the nation? God, we give you the glory, we give you the honor, and we give you the praise. And we pray always in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen and amen and amen. Minister Smith.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, I tell you, I'm already excited just to hear of the next blessing on next broadcast. I tell you, it is a learning, a richness to receive the nuggets that come from God's holy word. Well, my brothers and sisters, this brings us to the end of this broadcast. But always remember that the grass withers and the flowers fadeth away season after season. But the word of God, it will remain forever and ever and ever. God bless you and have a blessed rest of the week.